I've asked my wife to come and share a good portion of the message this morning, and it's going to be on prayer and intercession, and simply means praying for others. And something that we've been talking about the last couple weeks in this connected and practicing God's presence, and basically this idea of praying without ceasing that's in there in the Word, and we're called to pray without ceasing, and that's just, you know, I told you guys, that just freaked me out. But it's really become this beautiful invitation that the reality is God just wants us to grow in the connectedness that we have with Him. And throughout the day, He doesn't want us to just automatically walk through the whole of our day just disconnected, that there's this ongoing relationship. He wants us to open our hearts, open our minds, open our spirit, and have this ongoing conversation. And that's simply, that's what prayer is. It's our ongoing conversation with God. And so that we've been encouraging the last couple of weeks, hopefully encouraging you guys, that God wants that ongoing conversation, that pray without ceasing, just to be that simple, that soul lifted up, looking to God, open to talking with God, hearing from God, praying, praising God, thanking, asking for help, all those things that can help us just walk and stay connected in God's presence. But as I shared honestly with that, you know, sometimes that whole idea of like getting alone and praying for other people can be like this daunting task. And as we're processing that, I feel like there's this beautiful picture coming together of really something God's been doing in my wife's heart in regards to praying for others and interceding on others' behalf. And it kind of answers one of those questions of, well, okay, if I'm talking with God and fostering that connection with God, then what does come of those times when, yeah, well, it feels like I just have to make this list of all these needs and all these people I need to pray for, all the problems in the world, and oh, that's still exhausting. And so it's just, I think the timing's beautiful as God's really been doing something significant in her heart that really answers some of that question. But at the same time, it also affirms something God's done in us from the beginning of Elevation. If you guys have been with us from the beginning, you know that God has surprised us. That whole verse, above and beyond what we could ask or imagine, has become very precious. Because the way that God has moved through prayer, through us praying for one another, has been truly above and beyond what we had asked or imagined, certainly for me. And prayer has become a central aspect of our church life and the power of coming into agreement with heaven. And that whole, we just looked at the Lord's Prayer where Jesus said, God's will, he declared it, said, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he invites us to pray like that, to come into agreement that God's will is that more of heaven break in and transform earth, transforms our current status quo. And so I want to ask her to come up, and I'm going to pray for her, and then let her share some of these things that I think God's been stirring on her behalf, but also very significant for our church family as really kind of a breakthrough, another step in the depth that God wants to be taking us in how we see prayer and how we do prayer, how we live prayer as a church family. So come on up here, babe, and let me pray for you. Lord, I just thank you for your goodness, God. We thank you, Lord, that we are here just walking a journey with you of learning and growing and being transformed. And I thank you, Lord, that in you we don't have to have it all together, but there is such an invitation from you just to come as we are and to know you, to be loved by you, to be declared your beloved children, but from there to embark on this incredible adventure of life with you as Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you have such incredible promises for your children, such incredible power, such incredible partnership that you invite us into. And Lord, we're just scratching the surface of all of those things. And I believe, Lord, there's a word from you this morning through Dawn for such a time as this, that you want to bless our Elevation Church family with the next step that you're inviting us into on this journey and adventure of intimacy with you and power in you and seeing your kingdom come and transform our lives and the world around us. And we continue to believe that is your will, and that's what we stand for, that is what we fight for, that is what we walk towards. So I pray your Holy Spirit would just fill her up afresh and speak right through her exactly what you desire our church family to hear this morning. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, freedom, amen.
Good morning.
Morning.
So, like Casey said, I God's been doing a lot in my heart with regard to specifically intercession and prophetic intercession and prayer. And it's really been an adventure for me of changing prayer from a list of things that was like, oh, like just kind of felt tedious for me, even though it is God's heart to pray for things. You know, like we, Philippians 4:6 talks about lifting all your requests up to God, casting all of your cares upon him. And so there is that element of, you know, God wants, he wants us to bring all of those specific requests to him. And, you know, how the more that we walk with God, the more we realize there are so many more degrees of his character and his goodness and who he is and his kingdom. And so that's definitely part of it, lifting all your requests up to God, casting your cares upon him. But as I was feeling this calling that I felt like he was bringing me into, a call to intercede, I was just like, but I don't like that. Not that I don't like praying for others. I love praying for others, but I love praying for others when it's fun, when they come up, and it's like I go on an adventure with God every time I pray, because I'm listening, you know, and I just get to hear God's heart and really just participate in it. And it's like I'm going on an adventure. I'm not just bringing my list and going down my list. I'm going on a fun adventure with God. And these past couple weeks have been just this really cool time of God transforming my idea of what intercession looks like, meaning when you gather with a group of people who just listen to God's heart and pray for the city, pray for everything, the world, all sorts of things, that it doesn't have to be just the list. And I want to, it actually starts for me with the Lord's Prayer. You know, as Casey went through the Lord's Prayer for a pretty long period of time, and it's just the first and second verses, and I'll read that. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's really what all this is based on, and I'll touch upon that in a minute. But first, I'd like to share a few visions that God gave me as he was transforming my idea of what intercession looked like. The first vision was, I was just praying and worshiping in my kitchen, and had this vision of me just hugging Jesus, and my head was on his chest, and he was letting me, just hugging me, and he was letting me listen to his heart. And then he gave me a stethoscope, and he put it on my ears, and he put it on his heart. And it was this picture that he, it was like this picture of a deep river in his heart that he was letting me listen to. And I felt like he was saying, that's what intercession is. It's this intimacy with me. It's this deep privilege. And it's not coming with my list. It's coming to listen to what's on his heart. And like I said, there absolutely is that aspect and integral part of our walk with the Lord that is bringing our requests to the Lord. So I'm not saying that that's not a part of it. It's a piece of the pie, right? It's a piece of the pie. But this is a piece of the pie that I think is missing in a lot of it was in my view of intercession. And I'm sure, you know, I've experienced it as I've interceded in with larger groups, as people just go down a list and it's just like, there's more of an adventure and an encounter with Jesus that he wants to bring us in on. And so with that vision, it was like he was just saying, I'm giving you the privilege, the place of favor to listen to these deep rivers in my heart, to partner with me on earth, because I don't understand why he's chosen to do things in a way that he partners with us. He doesn't need us, but he sent Jesus in the world. You know, Jesus said he only did, in John, I'll give you the verses because we're not going to put them all up there. John 5:19, I only do what I see the Father doing. Jesus's life was in such close communion with the Father, and he set the example for us. You know, John 20:21, I'm giving you the verses because I usually just spit them out and then I actually hear afterwards, why didn't you give me the number so I can give me the address so I can look it up. So John 20:21 says, as the Father sent me, so I send you. In John 17:18, Jesus is praying and he says, just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. So there's this precedent, you know, that Jesus has set for us, that as he was sent into the world, so we are sent into the world. So he's our model. And he said over and over again, I do what I see the Father doing. It's this intimate communion. It's a fun ride with God, you know? It's, you don't know what's coming next. And the thing is the kingdom of heaven, it's so much bigger. It's so much better than we could ask or imagine. You know, I quoted a verse while we were in prayer today. Is it 1 Corinthians 2, verse 8? I'm blanking on the verse, but it's what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what the human heart has not conceived is what God has prepared for those who love him. Other versions say, what the human heart has not imagined, what the human mind has not imagined. And we see that as the example of what Jesus brought to earth. As he came to earth and he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, turn, and believe. And he showed us what the kingdom of heaven looked like. The blind got their sight. Those who were emotionally hurt were miraculously healed. Every need that there was met above and beyond, from emotional to physical redemption and healing. And Jesus blew the doors off what people thought was possible. And you know how we know Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? And his word says that we're going to do greater works than him. I want to be a church that takes him up on the offer. It's a promise, and we're going to stand in agreement. Your will be done, your kingdom come. So anyways, so the focus today is on intercession. I want to share with you another vision that God gave me before we go into a little more. And the second one was it was like a counter. And I was sitting there, and there was a globe, and there was a map, and there was a compass, you know, like for you know, how sailors would chart the course on their map. And I heard the Lord say to me, chart the course. And I was like, what does that mean? And then you know how on the maps, they have little dashes that show the course that they're going to take? And on the map, I saw me just sitting there listening to Jesus and partnering with him. And as he whispered things, and as I spoke out agreement to them in prayer, and I saw golden dash marks, like gold, on the map. And I felt like he said that was charting the course for angelic invasion. As we come into intercession to partner with him, we are grabbing his hand, saying, your kingdom come, your will be done, and we're charting the course for the armies of heaven to come and invade and bring the kingdom. And what's so neat about that is that it will often not make any sense. Because the reality is, you know, when Jesus came and when we see healings and we just say, in Jesus' name be healed, and someone's healed, it makes no logical sense. It is not according to the ways of this world. It's because God is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning of the end. He created the world. He created the natural world with the word of his mouth. And he's still the same. He's still the same. And there is a grabbing on to the reality that as he shows us the things that he wants to do, and I'll go into more detail of what that looks like, but as he shows us that, instead of saying, oh, that's impossible, we say, yes, Lord. Heaven, Jesus, is reality. You know, we get this idea that our natural world is reality. You know, even the symptoms that I'm going through on a daily basis with just not being healed yet. And, you know, it feels like as we're on earth that's like a stronger, it carries more weight. You know, it scares us. But God is just saying to me every day as I'm listening to him, celebrate, dance with me. And it makes no sense. So that how do you get well by dancing? How do you get well by worshiping God and spinning around your house? Well, you know what? I'm getting well, and God is bigger. And you know, I teach my kids verses, and Daniel's favorite verses are I'll give you the numbers. I wrote them down. where are the numbers? Oh, here we are. Mark 9:23. All things are possible to the one who believes. Luke 1:37. Nothing is impossible with God. And then this one, 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, They have divine power to demolish strongholds. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Jesus came to earth to establish his kingdom. He paid the price. You know, it says in Ephesians, he paid the, by his blood on the cross, he paid the price to unite things in heaven and things on earth, to bring what is in heaven, to bring the Lord's kingdom to earth, to just spread and take over. So intercession is like a grabbing of his hand to bring the full invasion of the kingdom of God, to bring heaven to earth, to bring all of the goodness that he has. And and I want to go into a couple specific examples of what that can look like, and then I'll go into some really neat scriptural examples. The scriptural examples are pretty neat and pretty powerful. Sometimes, I'll just give you some examples from my personal journey. And before I go into these, I would also like to say the Word of God is our foundation. You know, spending time with God and knowing his Word, it's living and active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. That's the foundation. And so I do want to say that in order to move in a healthy direction in hearing the Lord and in moving in more of our own prophetic giftings, we must be grounded in the Word. Otherwise, we'll go float away and bump our head into things. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that talks about, can you help me out here? I'm blanking on where it is.
Which one?
You know, the one that talks about
being tossed to and fro.
Right. Yeah, say that one.
That's all I got.
Okay. Anyway.
The Bible says you can be tossed to and fro if you're not grounded.
Right, and because the reality is we are human. We are human. Every word needs to be tested. It's very important that we're grounded in the Word and also that we are linked hands with one another. All of us are a different part of the body. We all have different giftings. We all need each other. You know, I need my toes. I need my legs. You know, even when you injure your little toe, you realize what a big part it plays. Every part is very important. So this is a very important part in connectedness. And I also want to say, in being a family together and one body, there's not fear in getting something that's wrong. It's okay, you know? And to be honest, if we're living on the adventure, going down the fun water slide that God has for us, we can expect that we're going to get things wrong and we're going to learn, and it doesn't matter. It's okay. We have each other. It's not like, oh, I crashed and burned. I got a prophetic word wrong. Oh, well. God is, there's just a perspective that I think that is healthy to shift, and that's that it's okay to learn, and getting stuff, being off a little bit, is an essential part of learning. Little kids don't learn their ABCs without messing up a whole bunch on the way, and that's how we are in the kingdom of God. We're like little children. We're like little children. You know, Jesus said the kingdom belongs to little children, and we come into the kingdom as little children. It's the only way we can come in, and knowing Jesus is going to last through eternity, and we're going to be like little children our whole life, dancing, and I want to be dancing and playing. I don't want to be upset because I tripped. I want to get up and dance and play, and I want us to be a congregation where as we are learning and as we're getting words, you know, if some of them are a little off, that's okay. We can dance and play, because as long as we're grounded in the Word, and so importantly, and I would even say most importantly, as we're operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, is that we're holding on to each other's hands. We've got each other. And you know, and if I get a word that's kind of like someone, I don't know about that. You know, I've got my good friends to come to me and be like, hey, Donnie, you know, I don't know. When you said that, there was something in my spirit that I just kind of felt maybe it's in this direction. You know, cause sometimes our own issues talk to us. But anyways, my point is there's nothing to be afraid of. We're on a fun adventure. And even when our friends talk to us about, hey, you know, I don't know about this, it can be like, oh, cool, let's talk about it. It's not that I'm wrong. You know, they may be wrong, and that's okay too. So I just want to speak freedom when it comes to learning to operate in our giftings. That was a tangent. So now I'll go back to the intercession and prophetic prayer and examples of what that can look like. And as we did this with Casey and I have a DG that's, you know, both both of ours, and we call them our fire family because I like to call them my fire family. As we got together and we did this together, you know, someone gets a vision, someone gets a word, God is speaking, just speaking stuff, and really oftentimes it's just repeating what he's saying and saying, yes, Lord, we're standing in agreement. That's all we have to do because it's not on our strength or power, you know, that these things are going to happen. When we come together in intercession and prayer, we're saying, you know, like I said before, his dominion is an everlasting dominion. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's bigger than we could ever imagine, and he's more powerful than anything we can imagine. And what we're doing in partnering with him is bringing heaven. And so there's an element of attaching our faith to what Jesus said when he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand's reach. At hand's reach. And continuing just to grab his hand and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And so as he gives these visions and he gives these words, and sometimes he tells us to dance and to sing and to clap and to shout. As he does those things, we are just standing in agreement. And everything is worship, saying, yes, Lord. Yes, God, come and do that. And I want to touch on another element of intercession. I will give you a verse for it. Matthew 16:19. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, there is the reality that the enemy is running around like a roaring lion, and there's also the reality that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And oftentimes, what I've seen in my experience is people walking in the prophetic giftings, there's a lot of seeing of what the enemy is doing. How many of you know that the devil will keep you occupied as long as he can? If you are playing in a game and you only play defense, fighting against what the other team is bringing your way, you can't win the game. And that's something that we miss a lot. Now, binding is very important. Binding the enemy, but a lot of times we miss the important part of loosing heaven, of your kingdom come, your will be done, and of listening to the Lord and asking for a spirit of revelation, Ephesians 1:17, asking for a spirit of revelation to know what is in heaven. And if you go and you read this, Ephesians 1:17, it talks about a spirit of revelation to know the hope to which he has called us to and the power that is in us, in those who believe. It's a revelation of what we've already been given and what is ours. And so I do want to just kind of just throw that out there, that there will be elements of binding, absolutely, binding the enemy. But don't stay there, because if you do, you're not going to get the winning touchdown. Because God's words are what brings heaven. Not, you know, it's just, if you just even picture a team, God gave me this vision, like, I don't know, 2 weeks ago of a team, and he was just like, you know, so often what happens in prophetic circles is we get occupied with binding the enemy and seeing and sensing what the enemy is doing. And God is like, I got a missile to launch, and you just need to listen and partner with me and just watch him go. And you know, it's worship. We're like little kids and we're clapping our hands going, woo, yeah, God. All we did was say, yeah, go do that, God. And it's fun and it's an amazing adventure. And lo and behold, his kingdom has come and his will has been done. And it's amazing. What an amazing adventure. And we're like little kids clapping, like, woohoo, he's awesome. I'll go into a couple good verses. So I hope that makes sense, that binding is essential. Binding was modeled by Jesus. But don't let that be all that it is. Let the majority of what we're doing be listening. Father, what are you doing? What are you doing? And listening to him sometimes and very frequently is binding. But don't ever bind without loosing. Don't ever bind without loosing heaven. He's bigger, he's better, and it's almost like what's in the world and what the enemy is doing is fairly apparent. It's kind of easy to see. But what God wants to bring, we see in his word, his heart, and we need a spirit of revelation to just be hearing the adventure, hearing the things that are beyond what we could ask or imagine. He wants to partner with us and say, have us say yes all the promises of God are yes in Jesus. And one practical example of Jesus doing what the Father is doing is in Mark 5, 22 to 24 and 35 to 42. And I'm actually just going to do a little storytelling and recap it for you instead of reading it. It's the story of Jairus. And Jesus is walking, and Jairus' daughter is sick at home, almost to the point of death. And he comes up to Jesus, and he says, you know, Master, come to my house, please. I need you to come heal my daughter. She's at the point of death. Jesus goes with them. And they actually go through, and Jesus does a number of other healings. But as they're walking to Jairus' house, one of his servants comes up and says, don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter is dead. Your daughter is dead. So I want you to look at the circumstances in the natural where your daughter is dead. Don't trouble the master. That is not what was in heaven, and that is not what the Father was doing. And Jesus' response was, do not fear, only believe. And they kept walking. And they got to the house, and the little girl was dead. And all the people are wailing, and they're saying, the little girl's dead. And Jesus was practically living out what he was teaching us. He didn't listen to what they were saying. He didn't say the little girl is dead. I believe he was listening to the Father, because he said, she's not dead. She's only sleeping. She'll be up in just a little bit. He listened to the Father. He listened to the Father for what was in heaven, for what the Father was doing, for the impossible. And he walked in there with his disciples, and he said, grab your hand, little girl, get up. She rose up. He didn't look to the natural world to tell him what the will of the Father was. He was in communion, asking for the spirit of revelation, in communion, in partnership with God, grabbing his hand, saying, your kingdom come. I mean, I know he is God, but I'm saying this because he modeled for us what it looked like to walk so that we could go out and walk as he did. So that's a pretty profound example. And, you know, like I said, that's actually the example that God put on my heart this past week, as I was kind of just pressing into God and, you know, about my own healing, you know, and just kind of like, I'm just dancing and singing all day. Exactly. And heaven is coming. The doctors don't know what to do. They haven't done anything, but I'm in the process of being healed. And I'm also, one thing I actually want to say is we have this, sometimes we say, oh, it's not God's timing yet. I want to ask us to throw that out the window, because I don't believe we saw Jesus modeling that. Jesus said the kingdom is at hand. Repent and believe. And he brought healing here and he brought healing now. And we also, now I'm talking about in healing and the things that we know are God's will, healing and redemption and all the things that are in heaven to be brought to earth. When we say it's not God's timing yet, we're letting go of God's hand and letting go of our agreement that the kingdom is at hand, within hand's reach, and now. And, you know, because there's just the mystery of, I don't understand why it's not coming to earth right now. You know, and there's even an example of Jesus when he was healing the blind guy, right? When he put mud on, was it the mud eye one? When he put mud on his eyes, and the healing wasn't completed in the first round. You know, the guy's like, I see people, they look like trees walking. You know, it wasn't complete. And then he goes, okay, well, let's try it again. I'm not sure what he did. Maybe he spit. I don't remember. But the point, there's perseverance. And we need to be a people of faith that grab onto God's hands. And there are things that are unchanging. And one of them, and the hugest unchanging thing is our Lord's heart and who he is. And that whatever we see on earth does not tell us who he is. It doesn't tell us who he is. When healing hasn't happened yet, you know, when healing, I've said this before, when Jesus came to earth and he saw all the tragedy, he didn't say, oh, well, that must be my Father's will, or it's just not his timing. No, he came and he brought it. He stood in agreement with the Father until it's brought. And we don't understand the mystery of why, there's a supernatural war going on. The devil is prowling around like a roaring lion. And but Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to bring abundant life. And so we need to be a people that stand with him in faith, in the tension of we know who he is and what his will is, but we have not seen it in the fullness of what we know he wants to bring on earth. And we need to stand because made us to be a gate from heaven to earth, to live as Jesus did and to be a gate to grab his hand for heaven to be birthed. And so as we stand in that place of agreement with him and worship, heaven is birthed onto earth. It's like a womb. It's like we're like the womb of God, and it's being birthed onto earth. And I want to be, I know I've said this before, kingdom birthing machines. Where we see the whole, our whole land transformed. So I'd like to go into some very neat verses where specifically we see God's superior kingdom, people partnering with God in intercession and worship. And he gives them, he speaks to them things that are like, how are we supposed to win like that? Like, Donnie, how do you expect to get well? By dancing and singing around your house. And I'm doing practical things, going to the doctor, you know, I'm doing all that. That hasn't worked. And you know what? That's my, what I'm doing is not a second-rate plan. It's a first-rate plan because my God created the earth. And so, anyway. Joshua 6, verses 1 through 5. Gonna read it? I'm reading NIV. Ooh, it's up there. Isn't that fancy? Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in." And as you read on in the chapter, it makes, okay, seriously, it makes no sense. God, we need the wall to collapse so we can basically take over this area. And as they partner, as they come to Jesus, as they come to God, what's the plan, God? You know, like, get your troops and go. It's march around the wall and worship. March around the wall and worship. And the walls fell down. Physical walls in the natural that seemed impossible bowed to the reality that his kingdom is the superior kingdom, that he is Lord of all. But here's the key. Why did they bow? Because his people took his hand in faith. They took his hand in faith. They didn't say, "Oh, that's impossible. I guess I'll kind of pray that." They said, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We are standing in agreement. We are worshiping you. You are God. We are doing as you say." You know, Jesus walked through walls. He did the impossible. What the currency of one kingdom doesn't pass into another. And you know, like for the, I'm going to give you a quick example of, you know, Jesus walked through walls. That doesn't make sense. You can't walk through walls. What is that? And there was this example that Bill Johnson gave in a sermon about currency, that the money from one country to another does not transfer when you bring it in. In much the same way, the way that God works doesn't transfer to our logic of how things in the natural realm work. And so he gives us things that are impossible. He may tell you, there may be specific things that he gives you, acts of worship, prophetic acts of worship as you are praying for things, that as you step out and you do these silly things, jumping, dancing, singing, and you know he's bigger than we could ask or imagine and goes beyond what we could even conceive in our minds. So who knows what he's gonna birth in our hearts. But you know, the reality is that he's just so much bigger, and the currency is not exchangeable. And so it's healthy to get that idea out of our heads that what he tells us to do, it's not going to be like, "Oh yeah, I see that, because on earth that makes sense." That you can't use heavenly money if you're operating on the earthly cash register. Get your head in heaven, in Christ, where we're seated, in the heavenly places above all rule and authority, and just stay there. I mean, just stay there. And I'm not saying to live crazy and not go to the doctor and stuff. Like, that's not what I'm saying at all. But when it comes to believing and agreeing with God, his kingdom is superior. He is reality. So yes, we see that the physical walls fell down by worship, not by hitting them with a hammer or a mallet, but by worship. And it makes no sense to us, but God is big. The next one is 2 Chronicles 20, verse 16, and 2 Chronicles 20, verses 21 to 24. I will go there. Okay. So the story is all these armies are coming against Jehoshaphat, like lots and lots of people and armies, and they're all freaked out. You know, so they go, actually, I think I'm starting in verse 15, not 16. So they actually go and they decide to go to, because they all gather together. And it says in verse 14, it says, "Then the spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, son of," all these words I can't pronounce, Benaniah, "son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly." So you basically have a prophetic word being spoken by the Lord. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." Now I'm going to jump to 21. "After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, 'Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever.'" Now listen to this. So they are walking through the battle plan that the Lord gave them. Okay? This is their battle plan. Don't fight. The battle's the Lord's. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord sent ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Their enemies destroyed themselves, and the Lord sent ambushes. And what did the people do? They followed through with God's battle plan. They followed through with what God gave them in a prophetic word. As we sit, you know, interceding for our lives for anything, as we sit in intercession and we listen to the heart of God and we follow through with it, we're going to watch the armies that are positioned against us fall down and the kingdom of God invade. And this is just an amazing story of their worshiping and God sent armies. The impossible was birthed. They grabbed hands with God in faith, grabbed hands with Jesus in faith, followed through with the prophetic acts of worship that he gave them. It's just worshiping. It's just saying, "God, yeah, you got this. We're in agreement with you." You know? And they did that. And the kingdom happened. And I also want to speak one quick thing before Casey goes into tying up my loose ends. I want to speak, that was a joke, sort of. One thing on perseverance. You know, like I was saying, in the middle, when we are grabbing his hand and we are essentially the womb, the birthing place of heaven, grabbing his hand, saying, "Your kingdom come," there's a perseverance that we must take up. Not giving up, not agreeing with the lies of, "Oh, it's not God's timing yet to bring his goodness." Not agreeing with the lies of, "Oh, it must not be God's will." God is looking for a people who will stand in the gap. The gap is the place on earth where he's not. Stand in the gap between heaven and earth and say, "I will not let go. You are God. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven."
For more podcasts and updates, go to weareelevation.com. Also, follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/weareelevation.